Start reading in verse number 29. You've read this text. I preached on it. I could not tell you how many times, Brother Darnell. There is so much food right here. Brother Gary, there is so much encouragement right here. Anybody need encouraging this evening? Steve and Sister Marlea drove from Jacksonville tonight and drove through the storms. Brother Leroy come in. He drove almost from the Nassau Duval County line out of Callahan tonight. He said, "Brother, it's storming in Callahan." I believe God takes note of people that go through storms to get to the house of God and give them something from heaven. I don't believe folk like that walk in here and say, "Oh, I wish church was over. I wish we'd have canceled the services tonight." God, please, are you listening? Lord, please have mercy on my lazy Christian life when I don't have time and don't desire to come to church. Everybody don't believe, I don't think like you do, preacher. Oh, you got that right. But that ain't my fault. And as they departed from Jericho, verse 29. Got your Bible? Everybody got a Bible? Hold your Bible up. I want to see the Bibles in here tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Good things start on the number 8. New beginnings. Your life could turn around if you got a Bible. But you might have come from work and didn't have your Bible with you at work. I'd understand that. But you need a Bible. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men, sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us." You know, till you get you some help, you can't help nobody else. They blind men, they wasn't trying to help nobody else. They was trying to get the help they needed. Anybody in here need some help tonight? You need some help? You know what I've always seen? Folk that probably don't need as much help as others need help are usually the first ones to say, "I need some help." Them that never will say they need help, they need the most. "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Well, I'm thinking he said cried the more. I'm thinking it got louder the second time. First time, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Y'all be quiet. Don't bother him. "Have mercy!" Well, don't we need mercy? "And Jesus stood still." We could preach on some things that'll make Jesus stand still. Just being addressed right. You know, most of us don't never address Him right until our storms come. When them storms come, I guarantee your prayer life changes. Somebody say amen right there. Some of y'all was to stand beside the grave of some of them boys and girls, your life will change. You look at church different for a while. But if you ain't careful, you'll go back right back where you were. Sometimes I hurt. Sometimes I cry. He said, "What will you have? What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." Just so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Lord, please help me. God, please. God, I can't do nothing. Lord, I'm a nothing. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm a mess. God, you could do something here tonight. And I pray that you do. I pray, Lord God, you'd touch our hearts. I pray you'd wake us up. Wake up our families. Wake up our parents. Wake up our children. Wake up our teachers. Wake up whoever needs to be woken up. God, wake me up. Have mercy, Lord. I'm asking you to have mercy. I'm not telling you to call off the test, and I'm not asking you to reroute your will. I'm just asking you to give mercy while we're going through it. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do and how you do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Two helpless men. You ever seen a helpless man? There's a lot of people that have learned to make a living by doing nothing when nothing's wrong with them. They've learned that if they'll get on the right street corner, make them a sign before they leave the house, park the car away from where they're stopped at, and just stand out there and hold that sign up and dress kind of scroungy. People have mercy on them. Stop giving money. I've heard so many stories. I ask you to pray for me because my heart's got hardened in that area. Maybe I should have more compassion. I don't know. Two times last week, I was approached. One time I come to the church up here to work, and a woman was waiting out here. Right by Leah. Had all kind of stories. I just sit there patiently listening to Alex, and I'm dissecting. I'm a critic. You come to me with a sad story, I promise you I'm going to listen to every word you say. And if you're hungry and there's nothing wrong with you other than just too lazy and too sorry to work, you'll leave hungry again. Go teach your children how to work. Boys, y'all need to work. Don't be lazy. Don't be sorry. Lazy is a pretty way to put it. Sorry is the truth. Hobo. Your friends, list of friends will deteriorate in time. Brother Robert Jowers could not stand a lazy man. I love Brother Robert. I feel kind of the same. If I had a pair of shoes, I'd put them on and walk in them. Two helpless men right here. These men literally are helpless because they're blind. There's things about blind people that we don't even think about most of the time. Can I say this? The reason we don't think about blind folk most of the time is because their mind's too much on us. Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to eat? You might not have eaten supper yet tonight. And if you hadn't, I sure appreciate you coming to church first. If you had to pick between the two, you chose to come to church first. And I thank God for that. Have y'all ate yet, Brother Frank? Let's go eat at the church. I'll find some place where they got chicken liver. God bless you. I'll help you, Sister Amy. Amen. We'll bring Gary and make him eat one. Amen. See, I knew the other night when she got baptized. Oh, you better know he's paying. Dearly, for how many years now? Helpless men, helpless. Helpless. Brother Glenn Bennett, he's getting up in some years. He ain't done. He'll still outwork either one of his grandchildren. Hands down. I see you nodding that head, boy. We'll be here tomorrow. Come on out. Come on out. We'll be here. We got a whole floor around this place. Needs scraping. We'll see. Come on out. Grandpa outworked them. He's a young fella. Blood pressure medicine, heart medicine, cholesterol medicine. On a new diet. Wife retired. She trying to push him on down there toward the casket cemetery. Trying to put him in the gym, Tiffany, where he will have a heart attack over there. You know that's true. But he ain't helpless. Comes out here and works. Brother Leo, he's a little bit older than Brother Glenn. I look over there and Brother Leo's standing up on that ladder. Just three steps now. Don't get excited, Sister Libby. It's just three steps. Hey, stand up on that ladder. I'm thinking, I'd be good. Please don't fall, Brother Leo. He ain't helpless. He said, I got to go home. I got to mow my grass. Something has happened to our society that folk have become helpless when they really ain't helpless, Brother Ron. I mean, really, we're in trouble. America's in trouble. It'll probably be, you'll probably be about 50 or better before you'll agree with everything I say tonight. The helplessness is just uncalled for. Uncalled for. Charlie Rushton was one of the most go-getting men I've ever met in my life. I would to God that y'all could have met him. Charlie Rushton would rake his yard, pick up all the leaves out of it, haul them out to the side of the road, then go out to his daughter's house, out there by y'all's house, and rake their yard. He'd burn up about 2 vacuum cleaners a year. And if they invited you over to eat, you better be holding on to your plate, because if you look like you paused for just a second, he was grabbing that plate. You done? I'm like, oh, no. He had knee replacement. Both knees. Listen to me. Listen to me. You young folk, listen to me. He had knee replacement. Both knees. 2 weeks later, he was push mowing the grass out here. I wish I knew what you was thinking right now. I'm telling you the truth. We're living in a society helplessness. When they ain't really nobody helpless. Brother Albert was down there in that hospital in Gainesville. I met people. I said, man, there ain't no way that man could hold a job down. But I met a lot of people in different places that looked like possibly they'd had an excuse to be called helpless and yet working. There's a man that works at Lowe's. I don't know what his name is. You've probably seen him if you've shot there a little bit. He's got one arm. You know what I'm talking about? Every day. I've seen people that was maybe had a leg from war, what have you, amputated, and they give them an artificial one, and they just go. Austin Swift lost a foot in a boating accident. And Austin Swift, they made one that looks kind of like it works like a real one. And they put him on him, and he says, thank you. I see you, Dad. I'm going to look at me a girlfriend. So what did he do? Found him a girlfriend. They got married. Well, I mean, that foot must be okay. We got married. That foot didn't bother us nothing. See, he helped us. Got a couple kids. I mean, seemed like everything's working all right. Just when he goes to bed at night, he just takes the foot off and puts over on the nightstand, I guess. It's not helpless. You know why this generation coming up is so helpless? Because all daddies do is they got a little job where they go to, like Brother Gary got. They get there early, Sister Amy. They get there early. And they stay for a while, and then they get out there at lunchtime and play basketball. Because we're sports, more sports-oriented than we are Christ-oriented. Now, you know we don't work hard. I know we don't work hard because when he gets off work, he goes and works on his house till dark. Help me, Brother Frank. I know he baptized you and didn't ground you or drop you the other night, but I'm saying the reason I believe, and I believe that you'll agree with me, that we see in a generation coming up of helplessness is because of the helplessness that this generation is seeing in their parents. So what? You got an 8-hour-a-day job. If I had it to do all over again, Dustin, you know what I'd do? If I had to do all over again, I'd work two jobs as often as I could without missing church. I would. The man that owns the head station of Texaco down there, his nephew worked for him, worked 7 days a week, at least 12 hours a day for 6 months. What's he doing? Sounds to me like he's making money. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. You can't do something like that and play a video game too. I am so sorry. You've got to have a video game of, what's that guy's name? Bill Elliott. You got to have a Bill Elliott. Is that a race car driver? Ain't that right? He's old. So what you want to do? Just put him in the grave and say, you're a dead man? Get out of here, man. I don't know none of them folk that's out there now. God, I don't want you. got to have a video game of a basketball. Shaquille O'Neal breaking the backboard. What talent for a man that's 7'14", weighs 650 pounds, to stand up under the goal and go, boom! What talent! You know what did real good? When your kids start coming along and they start saying, oh man, this is who I like. Thump them. And break that thing and say, you ain't got time for that foolishness, boy. They's working. Helplessness. Helplessness. These men were helpless. I believe this. I believe this. I believe they really were helpless. They were blind. They were blind. They were blind. Brother Darnell is limited in a lot of things that he can do. He really is. And you and I feel sorry for him, but not enough to help him. Blind does not stop. Blind does not stop. Are you listening? A blind man does not stop being blind because of the needs that he has. He's got to have food. He'll remain blind. He's got to have shelter. He'll remain blind. He really needs some good Christian fellowship, but he'll still be blind. Sometime he may have to travel. It might depend on me and you, but he'll still be blind. It doesn't change none of that stuff because being blind doesn't change your life. Other than you just being able to, you got to carry on like you are. He'd probably enjoy some good recreation, but he'd still be blind. Watching kids play, I mow my grass and sit on the porch after I get me a shower and clean up. Sit out there with a glass of tea, Brother John, and watch the kids get out there in the front yard playing and carry on. I like that. I like that. I like seeing the kids play out in the yard. And have, blind people don't get to do that. Being carried from one place to another. To the doctor. To the grocery store. Church. How'd you get church tonight, Brother Darnell? Watching the family. Watching the kids play ball. I got to go watch. I got to go see Cannon kicking a soccer ball. I've never been a big soccer fan, but I got to go watch him do that. Every time he kicked one, if he made a goal, he'd turn and look over at me. They want you to do something like this here. Kids can play. Brother Alex, you got a wife now. Playing days is over. Me and my wife, I used to play on city softball teams, or city league basketball. Me and my wife got married, I quit playing. So what'd you do? Went to work. Work. I told her, before we got married, I said, if we can't make it on one income, we're going to do without some things. I found out that was a lie, and I was the one who told it. You will work another job. Do you need one, Brother Gary? God put something in us just to make us want to work so that we will not be helpless. Me and Brother Leroy, we've had the best time. Man, I appreciate him and Sister June coming to church here. They are blessing me. And the real blessing, though, there is so many people, Brother Tracy, that he knows that I knew from Callahan. I don't even have to ask nobody. I can say, hey, Brother Leroy, is so-and-so still alive? He'll say, nope. Or, yep. And he's mentioned names of the people I ain't seen. I know, Brother Glenn, it's been close to 40 years and some of them I hadn't seen. We just enjoyed, you know, just reminiscing and talking about stuff. He asked me yesterday, he says, what about Henry Lee? Did you know Henry Lee? He asked me that. I said, are you kidding me? I said, Henry Lee was my wife's favorite uncle. No, I didn't say that, did I? She's up there, she's going to throw something at me. Literally, it was sort of kind of family on my wife's side. Let me clarify. Y'all got family the same way. Y'all don't claim them. If it wasn't for Brother Glenn being, you wouldn't know them. I don't blame you. I'm the same way. These was helpless men. You know what's a shame? These men are helpless and they're beside the road begging and they ain't nobody to help them. Yeah, let me ask you something. If they were born like that, and I just got all ideas they were, somebody took care of them when they was little. What'd you think? I mean, babies is just precious, and even if they do turn out sometimes to be ugly, I mean, it's still, if it's your baby, you love them, I think. But that child has got a mother, maybe a mother and father. Mostly today, just a mother. But I'm thinking back, there was somebody somewhere that took care of these men. They had to provide for them. They had to feed them. They took care of their clothing. They took care of their needs. They took them to the doctor if they needed going to the doctor. They prayed over them. But somewhere along the way, some people have quit. And now they're just stuck on the side of the road. And there ain't nobody that cares. I said a while ago, I have to watch out. My heart's gotten hardened. A lot of stuff I hear. I'm listening. Sister Darlene, I listen close. Somebody tells me that they're going through something. They're fixing to be put out. They're fixing to be homeless. I can every time go back to what caused all this. There's a reason. There was a reason one day you didn't go to work. Why? Why you didn't have to, what you too good to work down at Hardee's? You know they pay minimum wage. You know minimum wage right now is pushing $300 a week. Amen. I'm thinking if I was hungry, $300 would be a help at my house. I've had people say, I just can't work for that. We're going to go back to that other point that I was talking about a while ago, about being sorry. These men here now, they are grown and they are blind and they got nobody. They ain't got nobody in the world. They ain't a mama. They ain't a grandma. They ain't an aunt. Everybody that they knew has bailed on them. Nobody. You know why I see that a lot at church? People that are young Christians, people that are just gotten saved not long ago. And boy, when they first come in, They first come in, and I'm not saying it's happened like this here, and I pray it never does here. But when they first come into a church, I mean, everybody's so excited. Praise the Lord, they got saved. Thank God you gave your heart to Christ. And a month later, don't even care. You know what happened? They bailed. Where'd they go? Why'd they quit? I got a good idea. Some of the reason that people quit helping others, it's just too much work. It's a lot of work to help other people. Ain't it, Brother Daniel? You help people. I commend you. You're a blessing to them. I commend you. Brother Leroy, he won't do anything. He said, I just like to see stuff get done down at the church house. Brother Lee, I mean, just helping, folks. Helping. This is helping people. Could it be that their mind got distracted and said, I love me more than I love these blind boys? That's the way our society is. I've seen boys sit in a living room and wouldn't even get up and pick up, take trash out for the mom or daddy. Wouldn't take trash out. But you better know when that dinner bell rung, you better get out of the way. My daddy was old school. And a little bit that kind of overflowed on me a little bit. So I kind of try to instill this in my children. Maybe I can help some of you tonight in case you don't do it. I'm sure probably everybody here does do it. I'm sure you probably do it. But it's an old school way was when you got finished eating, you thank your mama for cooking and providing in that kitchen. Thank you, Mama. I've seen Jerry get up and start walking off and say, whoop, 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 whoop. Before you get wounded, you better get back in here. That's just those. You know what? You know what's wrong with us? Ain't nobody teaching nobody no more. And you let a whole generation come up without any kind of teachings, without any kind of regulations, without any kind of rules. I'm telling you, you're going to have a helpless society. Nobody's going to know how to act. All they're going to want to do is telephone and video games. You know how hard it is to talk on the phone? You can sit down. You can sit down in a chair somewhere. Just sit down. Prop your arm up. Just prop your arm in. Or you ain't got to do that. Yeah, you just put on speakerphone. Put on speakerphone. Yeah. I know it. Don't they get on your nerves? I can't believe they act like that in church. Why they want to speak to us? I think the same thing. Why would they want to speak to you? Helpless. 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 I got a job one time working with my uncle, and I wanted to earn some money, but Gary and I didn't realize that real work was going to be involved. He's a farmer. You work sometime, don't you? You work. You do work, don't you? You ain't okay. But you work sometime, don't you, John? What did he say? Oh, you used to work with Brother Gary. He just fired you. You work. I know you. I see you out there crazy. Charles, you worked before, hadn't you? It's good. I was just a young teenager, and I said, I need to make some extra money. I thought my uncle would pay me a little bit, probably $2 or $3 an hour, maybe, something like that, you know. Be a little blessing. I said, hey, Uncle, you got some work that you need to do? I'd be glad to do it. He said, I have. He said, I got a field full of dashings. He said, they need to come out of the ground. They need to be cleaned. And they need to be put in a bag. Anybody here know what a dashing is? Sister Pearl, you know? Amen. Dashing is like a potato. But they're so hard that from here to the back door right there, if you threw one and hit someone in the head, you'd kill them. I mean, they're hard. They are hard. And there's a little critter that loves them. I'm telling you, never in your life seen such. I mean, just you can't hardly dig them up without them being on. Called fire ants. Fire ants. So on my job that I'm just trying to learn to make some money on, I'm digging dash beans, and they're coated with fire ants. And you've got to rub them off real quick. Now, I'm trying not to look at nobody because I've already looked at some people and I ain't, Daniel, I wouldn't do that. No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that because your mama takes care of every little need you got. And when you get out of the house, you ain't going to know how to provide for yourself. You're going to be helpless and worthless. Help me right here. These men had a reason. But we don't. We don't. Strong. Able. I'm trying to encourage you to let you know that you need to be willing. Say, I don't know what to do. I can't do that. Get with Chris Perdue. He'd train you to work. You won't be reading no novels. You won't be texting. You won't even be on the phone. He'll be on the phone, but you won't be on the phone. I hate them. How many of y'all have seen them things they put in there and they get a phone call and you don't never know it and they just go to talking? And he'll be at the house or riding down the road with me and he'll just go to talking. He'll say, I don't know what you're doing. I said, I'm driving. What do you think I'm doing? You looking right at me. Sister Diane. Whether he's talking to you or not, you just ignore him. They really had a good excuse, a good reason to need help. And for them that have a good excuse and a good reason, even though somebody's bailed on them. You say, man, ain't no way I've bailed on mine. Oh, yeah, probably have. Probably have. You probably have. You probably have, and you don't realize it. You got bitter at them in your heart. You bailed on them. You refused to teach them. You refused to teach them about washing dishes and washing clothes and cleaning house. You bailed. You bailed on them. You bailed. You refused to teach them. You know what? You need to get out there and clean that yard or whatever. Go wash the car. Do something outside. Get out of the house. Get out of the house. Out of the house. It's hot. I know. Go out there and sweat it off. Get out of the house. If you can't do them like that, what are they going to do when they get a job and a man really expects them to work? I needed my old boss. God have mercy on his soul. I hope he was saved. But I promise you this. He'd cuss every breath and swallow half his tobacco. But you better know this. He could teach people how to be workers. So when this man gets a helper, he ain't got to retrain him. My dad's oldest brother was a millwright. A millwright's a man. Go to a paper mill and work shutdowns and anything that's wrong there, they knew how to pretty much knew how to fix it. He said they gave him a young man one day. He said, I had a bar, and a toolbox. He says, I want you to carry that toolbox, and I want you to carry that bar. And I don't want you to say nothing unless I ask you something. And wherever I stop, you better be right behind me. He said, my toolbox weighed pushing 100 pounds. One hand. Now, Brother Bradley, can I use you, Brother Bradley? You've been working out waist. I can see you getting bigger. I can see it. I'm thankful. Brother Bradley can pick up barbells. He don't mind that. That's a challenge. It's working on him. It's helping him. It's getting bigger. But to pick up a toolbox?
Yes, sir.
To do it under the title of work? Oh, I got a bad back. I hurt myself with them barbells I had yesterday. I could have seen my daddy if I'd have told him something like that. Brother Charles, you know what I'm telling, right? We've trained them to be helpless. They go to Grandma's house, go to Granny's house, and Granny and Grandma, they pet and pamper and wouldn't make them open the door for somebody. No, sit there, son. Sit down. I got it for you. They're going to be helpless. We was the remote control. We was the one that turned the TV antenna. Could you imagine telling your dad, I don't think I'm going to change that channel for you today. The family that he come out, same family I come out, I could see them. These boys was helpless. And they wasn't just helpless, but they had something in their heart toward God. And when they heard Jesus pass by, they said, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. We need you, Brother Daniel. In this hour we live in, never before has there been a time of such a stress on society. People needing God. Close. Robert Rudkin, some of you remember him. Robert Rudkin came to me one time. He had two boys. He said, you got some work my boys could do. How was they? About 12, 13, 14, something like that. I said, probably. He said, I want them to work. Y'all know Brother Robert. He says, but I don't want you to pay them. I said, I can work with that. And I thought he was just kidding. He said, no, I'm for real. He said, I want them to work and not get paid. I don't want them to grow up thinking that they can't do nothing without getting money for it. You know what he done? He brought them to the house. And he didn't tell them what he wanted done. He got out there and done it with them. So they'd know how to do it. He didn't want them to grow up to be helpless. These men was really helpless. They were blind. Somebody bailed on them. You know why a lot of churches today are helpless? Because a lot of people that was members have bailed. They don't pray. They quit tithing. They don't come to church half the time. Or go to church half the time. Listen, I'm not talking about folk being on vacation. I'm fixing to go. Some of y'all just went. Y'all going again. Dear Lord. I'm going with them. We need to get away once in a while. I'm not talking about that. You just got to get away. You need that. But when you ain't got no reason and you just lazy and just stay home, you're bailing on the church and it's becoming helpless. And when it becomes helpless like that, just look around and tell everybody, I'm the reason the church died. They had an excuse. They really did. And God didn't chastise them, and the Lord stopped and listened to them and asked them, what do y'all want? They said that we might receive our sight. They said, Lord, that we might receive our sight. They recognized Him. Don't wait for storms to come. Don't wait for hard times to come to find a way to the altar. I mean, you might even have them. Storms coming. Storms coming. They're coming in my life. They're coming in your life. Sometime or another, everybody faces storms. Let's be ready for them. Let's be prayed up. Let's be waiting on God to come by and comfort us right in the middle of it, because He will. He will. He will. He's a good Savior. He's a good God. He'll help you. Sister, He'll help y'all family through this. He will help y'all. You might be here tonight. You might not be. She might not be the only one going through something. You are. He'll take you through it. Lean on Him. Lean on Him. Don't tell everybody else to pray for you. You lean on Him. You pray. You ask Him. You tell Him, Lord, I can't do it. I know. That's why I brought you here, because you can't. But I can. I can. We've got a good God. We've got a good Savior. Children, y'all stay with the Lord. Y'all stay with the Lord. You stay with the Lord. Whatever you go through, whatever you've been through, whatever you're going to face, you remember this, that He was there and He knew about it. I ain't saying He allowed it, but He was there when you needed Him. And as sure as you got there, He'll get you away from there. And all the way through it, Brother John, He will get the glory if you let Him. I thought about you today. I sit back there and I watched an advertisement of a little girl with leukemia. And I sit there, man, just a little baby girl. And that woman, that mama said, when them doctors told her that her little girl had leukemia, said, that little girl, listen to me. That little girl looked at her and said, Mama, breathe. Could you picture that in your mind? You know what was wrong. That took her breath away. And she's a... I said, no wonder John Lynch gets so excited about being saved. Most of us have been through what John Lynch has been through, and Sister Mandy and these kids right here, we'd have quit a long time ago on God. Amen. You know what I say about that? God bless you, Brother John. Shout on. Shout on. Shout on, Sister Mandy. Go get them kids. Bring them down to the house of God. Somebody needs to tell them about Jesus that ain't bailed yet. Amen. Somebody needs to show them how to get to Calvary. Somebody needs to tell them that there's a God that loves them. Somebody needs to let these young people know there's a Savior out there that has died for them and has taken their place and wants them to know that salvation is freely given and eternal for whosoever will. Let's go tell them. Let's go tell them. Let's go tell them. Let's all stand together.